Hello and welcome to Life with Purpose Radio. I'm Rod Hampton, bringing you more stories of people sharing Christ around the world. Let's get a look at our stories for this week.
Hello, I'm Juliana Smoke. It's a church out in the country in South Georgia that is meeting the needs of families. Coming up, we'll hear how doing so is opening up doors to share the gospel.
I'm John Graham, and what caused Mariah Peters to be rejected on American Idol, and what happened next? We'll find out on today's Culture Connection.
Hello, I'm Ron Lawson. Later, we'll hear from a missionary who was on the scene for the 2014 Winter Olympics in Sochi, Russia, and about how Christians made a difference.
I'm Myrna Brown. We want to tell you about another Matthew West creation that just might be the perfect anthem for mission work.
Also today, Mandisa highlights Nate Gunner in West Africa on our Missionary Moment. So stay where you are for this week's edition of Life with Purpose Radio. Helping serve the needs in their community is how this church in Valdosta, Georgia, celebrates their Community Day. And Life with Purpose Radio's Juliana Smoke has the story.
It is one day outside of Valdosta, Georgia, where every imaginable need a family might have is met in order to meet their spiritual needs as well. It is called Community Day. It was a vision that was birthed in the heart of Jay Watkins, pastor of Redland Baptist Church, and he joins us today on Life with Purpose Radio. Welcome.
Thank you. I'm excited to be with y'all today.
When the Lord laid this on your heart, did you ever imagine it would grow to serving close to 5,000 people?
No, isn't it great to see God get into something, into the hearts of his people, and just radically change a community? And it's just an amazing adventure that God puts us on if we just focus our hearts on what he has for us to do. First year we did this, the Lord laid it on our hearts to reach the people in our community. And we thought we'd serve around 500 in this one-day event. The Lord opened the gates, and we ended up serving close to 4,000, a couple of hundred professions of faith. It was an amazing day that God just opened up the doors and we're able to share faith with that many people.
Oh, wow. And Community Day tries to meet every need a family might have.
Yes, ma'am. With everything going the way it has in the last few years with the condom, we thought, well, if we could take medicine, if we could take doctors and nurses and dentists and then offer families clothing and household appliances and items, everything that a family would need down to entertainment and fun, that in every part of that event that we could share Christ with them and remove the barriers of what they needed and meet an immediate need and then take care of their spiritual needs. And that's what our goal was, to meet every need they had, including their spiritual needs.
Mm-hmm. And after meeting those physical needs, do you see that it removes barriers and then able to share the gospel?
Oh, yes, ma'am. Every type of person, every ethnicity is at this event. And it's people that normally wouldn't come through the church doors that you're sharing Christ with. So it just makes us so aware of how many lost people are in our community. And the barriers that have been put up or tore down when you're just telling those people that you love them and that you can meet every need that they have because of the blessings Christ has given you. It's just an amazing, amazing thing. There's a dear young lady in our church there, Redland, and she and her children came to the first event that we offered. And the Sunday after the event, she come down the aisle of the church crying and just said, I need to get to know that Jesus that we saw at the event. And now she works in our children's program, and it's just wonderful to see God use her and to develop a relationship with her. It's amazing.
Oh, wow. Wow. And this is not just a Redland Baptist event, is it?
No, ma'am. What's so wonderful about this is it has brought the fellowship of churches together. And I think our last event, we served around 25,000 people, and we had over 60 churches with over 1,500 volunteers at this event. And that's really built a network of churches working together. It's developed friendships among pastors and camaraderie among the different churches here in our area, and it's developed a regional partnership. If the Lord wasn't the head of this, there's no way it would be successful.
Mm-hmm.
It's amazing to watch God work when people will just say, Lord, we're available. Show us what to do.
You know, Jay, what would you tell someone who is listening, who is being led to do something like this in their community, but might be thinking, you know, we're too small of a church, we don't have enough money?
Well, when we did our first Community Day, I think we were a little over 150, 200 members. Our budget today still is a very small budget. We're way out in the country. I would say to that church, don't focus on what you think you cannot do, but go out, find out what your community needs and just say, Lord, make a way. Don't let finances or size, whether you're too big or too small, affect you. Just look around you and start meeting those needs. And God supplies. God has supplied everything that we've ever needed for these events and more.
If we want to get more information on Community Day, do you have a website we could go to?
We sure do. It's called communityday.us.
We've been speaking with Jay Watkins, pastor of Redland Baptist Church in Valdosta, Georgia. Jay, it's been such a blessing to hear how the Lord is using a community of churches to reach people with the gospel.
Thank you, and I have enjoyed being with y'all.
For Life with Purpose Radio, I'm Juliana Smoke.
Life with Purpose Radio.
When everyone is asking why, we answer with help, healing, and hope. We are Southern Baptist Disaster Relief. We answer. To help, visit BaptistRelief.org. A message from the North American Mission Board.
Thank you for listening to Life with Purpose Radio. The TV show American Idol has spurred the careers of several singers. Let's get the story of Mariah Peters' experience on and off the show as John Graham talks with her on today's Culture Connection.
When Mariah Peters made it to American Idol, they were impressed with her talent, but were encouraging her to compromise on some other very impressive standards. She's with us today to tell us all about it. Mariah, welcome.
Hi, thank you.
Absolutely. So tell our listeners kind of the story. How did you get to American Idol, and what made you decide to go, and then what happened?
My mom had actually printed out the audition slips, the location of the audition, what day it was. She put it on the kitchen table. She said, I prayed about it. We're doing it. Let's go. So did the audition. 6 months later, got in front of the judges. The judges weren't impressed with the fact that I was saving my first kiss until my wedding day, and they encouraged me to go out, make some mistakes, have my first kiss, and then come back and audition.
Wow. Why would that even matter?
Good question. You know, it is a reality TV show, and the reality is that there has to be a story.
And what happened next? I mean, you had to be confused, defeated. What happened next?
You know, I have to say as awful as it sounds, it was a great experience. It was an incredible experience, and I'm so thankful for the people at American Idol, for the judges, for the contestants, because without that experience, I would not be where I am today. While I was leaving the building at American Idol, I met a man who said, hey, there's a woman in Nashville that I think you should really meet. And that woman ended up introducing me to my label, my manager, and my now husband. So I'm very thankful. I'm very thankful for the whole experience.
Well, you just went through quite a lot there. You met a lady who connected you to your manager and your label, which is now, tell us a little bit about that, how your career has taken from American Idol to what you're doing now.
So this woman's name is Wendy Green. She's like my second mom in Nashville, just an amazing lady. And she felt like God told her that she needed to help me with pursuing a career in the industry in Nashville, and that she also needed to introduce me to a guy named Joel. So, and then I met Joel, who is in a band called For King and Country. He was just starting off at the time, and as was I. So we definitely grew in our careers together and really got things off the ground really around the same time, and just remained best friends and workmates and dated for 3 years, and then we got married.
Outstanding. And, of course, that first kiss happened there at the altar. I'm sure it was a wonderful moment.
It did. I'm not going to lie, though. Once we got engaged, we were really considering just kissing so that we could, you know, practice before the actual day. And that was definitely a temptation. And, I mean, it's not a bad thing, obviously. Nowhere in the Bible does it say thou shalt not kiss before your wedding or whatever. Like, that's just something that I felt convicted to do from the time that I was 14 years old. So God wanted us to be an example to people of the incredible, miraculous things that he can do. But God uses everything, uses every story, uses every broken part of it. you know, if we do make purity a priority in our relationships, God just has a way of just anointing things and blessing things and allowing things to go beautifully, you know. It's not without a struggle, though, that's for sure.
Yeah. It's neat how God is using you as that voice. And what kind of impact have you been able to have on young people's lives through that?
You don't have to be a Christian music artist to impact people's lives. You know, I've been passionate about respect and about purity in relationships from the time that I was young. That's always been on my heart, and I've thankfully been able to share that same encouragement that my dad shared with me with a lot of girls who may not necessarily have father figures in their lives. And it's incredible the change that happens in someone once they simply know that they're loved.
Mm. Mariah, how can people stay in touch with you and follow your music and concerts and all that good stuff?
They can go to mariahpeters.com. There, you know, I've got my show calendar. And then my socials are all at Mariah Peters, and then Facebook is /Mariah Music.
Awesome. Thank you so much for being with us today.
Absolutely, John. Thank you so much for having me.
Of course. And, of course, thank you for being an example of one living a life with purpose. It blesses our listeners a lot.
Thank you.
All right. Until next time, I'm John Graham bringing you The Culture Connection.
Each week on Life with Purpose Radio, we bring you stories of people living their lives with purpose and inspirational stories of caring Christians around the world. We hope you enjoy hearing the stories and are motivated to do the same. Why not join in on the conversations and be a part of our community on Facebook and Twitter at LWP Radio. Again, that's LWP Radio for both Facebook and Twitter. Email is good too. We like it. stories@lifewithpurposeradio.com. is our email address, stories@lifewithpurposeradio.com. And we look forward to getting your comments about today's program and your story suggestions as well. And listen to this, you can get your free copy of the hardback devotional book called Words of Life from Dr. J. Robert White, Executive Director of the Georgia Baptist Convention. Simply go to lifewithpurposeradio.com/free book. Again, that's lifewithpurposeradio.com/free book. And we'll send it to you absolutely free just for being a listener to the program. All right, let's get back to our stories. Here's Myrna Brown.
Thanks, Rod. His name is Matthew West, and you've heard his number one song before. We want to tell you about another Matthew West creation that just might be the perfect anthem for mission work. Coming up.
Thanks, Myrna. Also ahead, Mandisa has the story of international missionary Nate Gunner in West Africa on our Missionary Moments. Right now, however, let's go to Ron Lawson in the Life with Purpose Radio studio for the story of Salvation at the Olympics.
Thanks, Rod. The 2014 Winter Olympic Games in Sochi are over, and the world seems to have moved on to new matters. But some Christians went there and made an impact in Sochi, reaching people there with the gospel. Dr. J. Robert White, Executive Director for the Georgia Baptist Convention, talks with a missionary who went to Sochi and saw great opportunities for ministry. Let's listen.
I'm pleased to have in the studio with me today Marty Youngblood, Georgia Baptist State missionary serving in church minister relations, but also for a number of years has been very actively involved in the ministry at the Olympic Games. Marty, thank you for being with us on Life with Purpose Radio.
It's always a joy to be here with you guys.
So, Marty, several weeks ago you made your way to the Winter Olympics in Sochi, Russia, and I'm sure you must have 100 stories you could tell us and a lot of experiences there.
Lots of stories.
Tell us about the effort that was made as hundreds of Christians made their way to Sochi to minister to the people coming to the Olympics, as well as the people who live in the host nation of Russia.
It was exciting because, as everyone knows, there was a lot of threats against the Olympic Games by terrorists and others. And so there was a lack of participation from a lot of our Christian groups we had seen in past Olympics. So, you know, it was an effort for us to get behind that and move forward with that. And as a result of that, we were there when a lot weren't. And so we were able to bring the gospel to a lot of folks in the short time we were there.
That's awesome. How were you received? How did people respond as you initiated conversations about spiritual things, about God's love, about the gospel?
You know, Russians as a whole are kind of a closed community in the sense that they're used to kind of moving through their day, doing their own thing, not participating spontaneously with individuals around them. But we found that there was a real warm side to them kind of that began to grow and develop out of our time with them. And really, they received well. In fact, many of the tracks that we passed out, we didn't see any of them on the ground. We didn't see anyone move away from us in conversation. Everyone seemed to be willing to listen to what it was we wanted to share.
I know you had a specific experience as you saw a group of young people with signs that read Salvation for the Children. Tell us about that.
That was neat. I was actually personally a little discouraged of being busy traveling back and forth to the places where our staff were staying. I had limited time to engage people like I had in the past, and so I was really praying that morning for the Lord to give me an opportunity to clearly share the gospel. And I saw these two college students with a box, a clear box that said Salvation for the Children. I went up and I said, what is this about? And they said, well, we have many children today who have no food and no clothes and no shelter, and so we're trying to help them to provide for them the things that they need for life and living. And so I said, you know, it's interesting. I said, I've come from the United States, and I'm a Christian, and the one thing that I've come to bring children and adults is salvation in Jesus Christ. And they were puzzled at first, so I gave them the track that had both English and Russian and began to go through the track and told them that this was the salvation of their souls. They suddenly got it. They understood we were trying to save the children in this way, and you're trying to bring salvation to us through Jesus Christ. And it was a great conversation. They spoke limited English, but it really was a good conversation, and I was encouraged that the Lord had provided that unique opportunity for me to share.
That's incredible. I wonder if you can remember a particular incident or an individual who was uniquely responsible to the gospel while you were there.
There really was. We were on the train, and it was a gentleman about my age. I'm 52. Mm-hmm. And so he was in his 50s. He had his family with him and his daughter, who was working with the International Olympic Committee as a translator. He was an English teacher or history teacher in English, somehow is how he explained it, spoke good English on the train. And so as we began a conversation, it was very evident that he wanted to have a deeper conversation about things of the United States and wanted to hear about our country, wanted to know my view on their country, how they felt they were doing with hosting the Olympics. And I said they were doing a great job. We know how received by the Russian folks. And I told them very warmly. And then we began to talk about very quickly things that were important. I said, well, family is important to me, but most important to me is my faith. And he really quizzed me on that. He said, tell me about your faith. And as we began to talk about faith and my relationship with Jesus Christ and how that had transformed my life at the age of 20 and had given me a direction and purpose for my life, even now, he began to want to know, how can we be so clearly, his words were, how can we clearly know this purpose? And I began to share with him that first it starts with a relationship with Jesus Christ. And once we had that relationship, we began to read his word and begin to pray and then to fellowship with other Christian believers. And I told them there were actually two churches in this area. A group that I was with had planted and were working, and they had English classes, they had Bible classes. Mm-hmm. And if he wanted to be interested, I would be glad to take his name, number, and email. And he gave me his name, his number, and his email. And so we gave that to Mark Hooks, who was the associate director of this event for IMB. And so he was going to get contacted by those. And I was excited because here's somebody just on a train starting a conversation, but it very quickly moved into something more personal, something that could be lasting for him and his family. He was very educated and just excellent in his ways of communication as far as English.
Well, that's incredible. He was very open, wasn't he?
It caught me by surprise. This was only about day two or three. Mm-hmm. And so sometimes it takes a while for you to kind of get a sense of the culture and how to move in and out of that culture. The language is an issue. The cultural differences are issues. And so sometimes you don't expect them to take that first step. You have to be the one sometimes being not pushy, but just being assertive in your direction or intentionalities of trying to create a conversation that would move you to a place of sharing the gospel.
I'm going to ask you about that cultural difference because to many Americans it might seem strange, but as you persist, you find an openness there?
You really do. And I tell people, if you've been around the world and been in missions, you realize that people are the same everywhere. They're mm-hmm. just trying to build a better life for themselves and for their family. They're just trying to find something that's stable they can hold on to and count on. And so for us, we have the message of Jesus Christ and the gospel that follows is the message that there is, you know, faith in him brings stability in all areas of life. And so you go with that hope and that certainty, and that's exactly what they're looking for because their government, regardless of the government, they don't provide those things, just like our government doesn't provide those things. We don't count on our government for these things, though they're helpful to us in many ways. We follow our faith and trust in that more than all things.
Well, Marty, I want to thank you for representing us at the Sochi Olympics and sharing the Lord Jesus Christ with the folks that you encountered there. That's a great ministry, and thank you for being willing to go and make a difference in Russia. I've been talking with Marty Youngblood, who is consultant in church minister relations with the Georgia Baptist Convention and recently was ministering at the Sochi Olympics in Russia. Thanks for being with us on Life with Purpose Radio, Marty.
Thank you, sir. It was my pleasure.
For more information on the work of our special missions efforts like the one in Sochi, go to our website, lifewithpurposeradio.com. For Life with Purpose Radio, I'm Ron Lawson.
A name label and a testimony from a fan was the inspiration for his most known song, Hello, My Name Is. Well, Myrna Brown has more from Matthew West on Life with Purpose Radio.
Hello, my My name is Regret.
His name is Matthew West, and that song was number one on the National Christian Radio Chart for 17 weeks straight, officially breaking the record for the most weeks at number one. Matthew West is right in the middle of an amazing tour, and we are so thankful that he's making time for Life with Purpose Radio. Hey, Matthew.
Hi, it's great to talk to you today.
Great to talk to you always.
Thank you.
The last time we spoke, it was about your song, Forgiveness.
Forgiveness. Forgiveness.
And a lot of ministry done via that song. It was one of the singles off of the Into the Light project. And another hit single from that same project is what we just heard, Hello, My Name Is.
Over the last few years, I've read so many stories from people all over the country and really from all over the world. And in one way or another, a common thread that I've noticed is a struggle with identity. You know, I had a young man named Jordan who wrote to me, and he inspired this song because the way he put it was just so powerful. The first sentence of his story said, "Hello, my name is Jordan, and I'm a drug addict." That's what it said. And he said, for the last several years, I've really battled thinking that that's how I would always be known, because I was the guy who used to be an All-American athlete but threw it all away when I broke my ankle and got hooked on pain medication. And so Jordan agreed to go to a recovery program where he spent an entire year fighting his addiction and letting God change his view of himself. And he finished his story by telling me that he graduated from recovery. He went back and graduated from the college that had kicked him out because of his addiction, became a high school teacher and football coach, and he said, you know, I no longer introduce myself the way I did at the beginning of my letter. Instead, I say, hello, my name is Jordan, and I'm a child of the one true king.
Hello, my name is child of the one true king. I've been saved, I've been changed, I have been set free. Amazing grace is the song. Hello, my name is child of the one true king.
Whoa. And I really thought, man, that story is a story that the whole world needs to hear. Because we are not defined by our past. And Jordan got it right. We're not defined by our mistakes. We're not even defined by the good things about our lives. Those are just surface parts of our identity. But our true, the core, the essence of our identity is found in our Creator and what He says about us. And 1 John 3:1 says it all when it says, how great is the love the Father has lavished on us that we should be called His children.
Matthew, you are indeed a storyteller, and you just have a wonderful way of hearing and reading true stories and then transforming them into these wonderful songs. You did it again with Do Something.
Well, I just couldn't bear the thought of people living in poverty, children sold into slavery. The thought disgusted me, so I shook my fist at heaven. I said, God, why don't you do something? He said, I did. Yeah. I created you. Now listen. If not us, then
that song's a shot in the arm. You know, that song fires me up and challenges me to think about how I'm living my life every day. And that song, again, inspired by another true story of an inspiring young woman who went from a college student to an activist, starting an orphanage in Uganda, of all places. She had gone there for a semester as a college student to learn about microfinancing, and while she was there, she found an orphanage where the children were actually being badly abused and neglected within the actual walls of the orphanage. This girl, this college student, was so moved and challenged and heartbroken by the plight of these children that she decided she wasn't going to leave Uganda until something was done about it.
they shut down the orphanage because she wouldn't stop pestering the government. And then they placed 40 children under her care. To this day, her and her sister, 25 years old, they're twins, and they run an orphanage together in Uganda caring for 200 children. All because she just said, you know what? I don't know what I'm doing, but I know I have to do something. And I remember her telling me that when I talked to her. She said, I had no clue what I was doing, but I knew that God was going to help me. And I just kept thinking, if I don't do something, who will?
I'm declaring right now, you heard it first here on Life with Purpose Radio, that is the perfect anthem for mission work. I mean, it just
You know, it's funny. Well, thank you. It's great to talk to you.
Same here. And for Life with Purpose Radio, I'm Myrna Brown.
Here's Mandisa with this week's Missionary Moments on Life with Purpose Radio.
Some things are not as glamorous as they appear. A perfect example is life on a tour bus with six other people. It's cramped, it's crowded, and you quickly discover that sacrifices have to be made if you want to make it off of the tour alive. Nate Gunter knew that there would be sacrifices on the mission field. What he didn't know was if he was willing to make them. Hi. I'm Mandisa, and this is a cooperative program, Missionary Moment. Nate is a journeyman to the Tuareg people living in the remote bush region of West Africa.
There's really no news media except for maybe shortwave radio occasionally. You know, no television, no telephone, no lights or running water or anything like that. So it's a pretty stark existence.
Nate wasn't looking for another job or just to have an adventure. Nate was praying that God would put a burden in his heart for a specific people. God heard his prayer and led him to the Tuareg people.
I heard it said several times before I came over that in this culture, to be a Tuareg is to be a Muslim. And so for many of them, I think the idea of accepting Christ and choosing to follow him in some sense almost involves giving up their entire identity as a Tuareg and as a member of their family. And so it's an extremely difficult transition.
Jesus Christ himself told me to be patient. When I find it difficult, I always remember what he said to me. This encourages me very much.
The Tuareg people are waiting for missionaries like Nate Gunter to share with them about the love of God. Pray for Nate as he continues to reach the people of West Africa for Christ. And pray for others around the world who have not heard the good news of God's love. Ask God to increase our commitment to the cooperative program so that people in West Africa, as well as those living along the West Coast, will have the opportunity to say yes to Jesus. The cooperative program, making a difference.
On Life with Purpose Radio, we believe that the truth of Christ is to be shared with everyone. We hope these stories have inspired you to live life with purpose, as today we heard about Church Community Day, the faith journey of Mariah Peters, Sochi Olympics recap, Jason Gray, and missionary Nate Gunter in West Africa. Please be with us next time for more stories of people living their lives with purpose, and visit us online at lifewithpurposeradio.com for more information on today's stories. Life with Purpose Radio is a production of the Georgia Baptist Convention. Dr. J. Robert White, Executive Director, and in association with Southern Baptist State Conventions and agencies, including the International Mission Board and the North American Mission Board, and is made possible by gifts through the Cooperative Program. I'm Rod Hampton, and from everyone here, thank you for listening to Life with Purpose Radio.